verse 72. Forsaking the gateway to liberation, I wander in wilderness. Though obtaining the precious human birth, I seek the hell realms. Dance and trample on the head of this betrayer, false conception. Mortally strike at the heart of this butcher, the enemy, the self. Okay, forsaking the gateway to liberation, I wander in wilderness. So this doesn't mean that you go in backpacking trips. Okay, wilderness means places where there are no dharma. Yeah, where there is, yeah. Places where there are no dharma, okay? So, you know, where we have the chance to practice the path, we have the chance to be around other practitioners and compassionate spiritual guides. We have the opportunity to practice. What do we choose? We want to go travel and see the world and go to all sorts of places where there's no dharma. Yeah, we want to go on a Caribbean cruise. We want to go, you know, here and go there in the middle of town, go to the top of the Eiffel Tower, go see the museum in St. Petersburg, you know. We want to go here and there, anywhere, you know, but not to the meditation cushion. Okay? So we're giving up an incredible opportunity, you know. Our mind is just distracting us. And then it says, though obtaining the precious human birth, I seek the hell realms. So this doesn't mean that, you know, we deliberately are saying, you know, I want to be born in hell. But through our behavior is seeking the hell realms. Okay? So, you know, that we have a precious human life that's difficult to obtain, that's very meaningful. You know, we have the opportunity to encounter the Dharma. We have good circumstances from our side. We have faith in the path. We have interest in the practice. These circumstances are very, very rare and difficult to get. Okay, in the whole world, how many people have this kind of precious human life? Because a precious human life isn't any old human life. There's special conditions to it, you know. And most people don't have those. The majority of people who have human lives don't have precious human lives because they don't have, you know, the internal and external conditions to practice. So we have that, but then instead of using that, you know, our behavior, the way we live our lives, it's as if we're saying, I want to be born in hell. Yeah, because what we do is just create a lot of negativities out of, you know, ignorance, out of anger, out of jealousy, out of greed, you know, our attachment. You know, to reputation, to praise, to anything. So, you know, it's like, you know, if you have a credit card which somebody else is going to pay on, and you have unlimited use, and you toss that in the garbage, worldly people would say you are out of your mind, wouldn't they? You know, you have a credit card, you could go anywhere, do anything, and you throw it in the garbage, and somebody else is paying, you know, and no credit limit, and, you know, somebody else takes care of all the interest. Great. If you throw that in the garbage, by worldly means, you're absolutely nuts. Well, you know, a precious human life is much more valuable than that kind of credit card. And if we throw it in the garbage by, you know, not practicing, you know, from a Dharma perspective, you know, we're completely insane. Yeah, because, you know, here's something, here's a jewel, and, you know, we're throwing it in the rubbish. Okay? So what causes that? Self-centeredness, self-grasping. Very clear, isn't it? Yeah? I want to go out, have a good time, enjoy life, you know? Enjoy life now. There may not be tomorrow, or whatever it is they say. Okay, so dance and trample on the head of this betrayer, false conception. Mortally strike at the heart of this butcher, the enemy, the self. Because that is what's destroying our chance for, you know, final happiness, the happiness that comes from spiritual realizations. Okay, next verse. Putting aside the unique spiritual developments, I pursue the profits of trade. Leaving my teacher's classroom, I roam through towns and places. Okay, so these two verses are talking about somebody who has the opportunity to study and practice and much prefers to do other things. Okay, and you see this, you know, sometimes You know, in the Tibetan community, you have people who were in the monastery since they were 5 or 6 years old, you know, not people who chose it. And so sometimes they don't appreciate, you know, the circumstances they have. They'd much rather go to town. They'd much rather come to the West, you know, find somebody to support them in the West and have a good time here. You know, or sometimes you have people who have lived in the West who renounce, but then the force of self-grasping, self-centeredness is so strong, you know, that the lure of going back to Disneyland and, you know, TV and family life and everything is very powerful, okay? Or even, you know, for people who aren't ordained, you have, you know, the opportunity to gain special spiritual attainments. But then, like it says, putting aside the unique spiritual developments, I pursue the profits of trade. You know, so rather than come to Dharma classes and retreats and something, you'd much rather travel for business, you know, and go some place, buy stuff, come back and sell it, or go somewhere to do this or that to earn some money. You know, the lure is very, very strong. So it says, leaving my teacher's classroom, I roam through towns and places. So again, the same thing, we have the opportunity to be near, you know, a qualified teacher and to learn, but instead we'd much rather go here and there, go to town, go here, travel there, visit some friends here, visit our families over there, go this place and that place. Okay, so the same kind of thing. You know, not taking advantage of the situation. So I'm not saying, you know, that you don't travel for business and you don't go see your family. I'm not saying that. But I'm talking about the mind that, you know, is forever finding something more important, more necessary, more crucial to do than Dharma. Yeah. Whether it's, you know, maybe we don't go into towns and places. We go to the cyber cafe, we go to the internet, we go to our pottery class, we go to, you know, here and there, you know, this and that, things that aren't really essential. And we keep ourselves as the busiest of the busy. You know, that's Geshe Darge's expression, you know. Even in India in 1975, when nobody was particularly busy, he used to call us the busiest of the busy, you know. And we're the ones who make us that way. We always say, oh, I have to do this, I have to do that. You don't have to do any of it. You're choosing to do it. And I think we need to own that. I am choosing to do this rather than go on retreat. I am choosing to do this rather than go to Dharma class. I am choosing to do that rather than to meditate. Nobody is standing over us with a gun threatening to shoot us if we do something else. You know, forcing us on, you know, with punishment of death. It's we who are choosing. But instead of taking responsibility for our choices, we say, I have to, I have to. And I don't think that that's really being honest with ourselves, you know. I don't have time. That's the commonest thing. I don't have time. What do you mean? What do we mean, I don't have time? You know, what it really means, you know, and I say I don't have time also, you know, because it's polite. It's the easy way out. I don't have to say anything if I say I don't have time because everybody knows what I mean. But really, what I don't have time means is other things are more important. That's what I don't have time means. It means other things are more important because I have time and I'm choosing to use it for these other things. Okay, so at my point in life, this is what I'm choosing to do with my time. I have to own it. You know, that these things are important for me to do at this moment, and that is not important for me. And so when we mean that, we say, I don't have time. Because who likes to say, you know, you're not important, something else is more important? Oh, we don't like to do that. So we say, you know, I don't have time, and we say, I have to. As if somebody is sitting there, you know, with a gun forcing us. You know? That's not true. So I think, you know, in order to really get our lives together, we have to really be honest with ourselves about what we're choosing to do. and own that and be responsible instead of kind of just say, well, you know how life is these days. It's just so busy. Who fills up our calendar? Nobody else takes the pen and writes those things in the calendar. Yeah, nobody else does. We pick up the pen and write it in ourselves. Yeah? So that's why I always say, write in your appointments for the Buddha. And write in the weekends when you're going on vacation with the Buddha. And, you know, write in the times when you're taking a month-long holiday with the Buddha. Okay? Pick up that pen and do what you do with all your other appointments and just make one with the Buddha instead. Yeah? And then keep it with as much diligence as we keep all of our other appointments. You know, if we have an appointment with somebody who could hire us and, you know, pay us a lot of money, we are early for that appointment. You know, we wake up early in the morning, we're all ready, we make prayers, you know, we're there early, we dress well, we're attentive, you know. So we should be like that when we have an appointment with the Buddha, instead of just rolling out of bed onto the meditation cushion going, oh God, okay, Buddha, yeah, I take refuge in you. Okay, you know. You know, it's like, you know, money is the thing that indicates where we put value in society, you know? I mean, I think we're so messed up nowadays. You know, we put money where our values are. Yeah, and so we're willing to pay all sorts of money for, you know, some little gadget. Yeah, but, you know, money for a comfortable meditation cushion, even money to, you know, set up an altar in your home, or money for offerings, you know, so you make offerings every morning, we run out for that. So I think it's important also, you know, where are we putting our resources? Are we putting our resources into really what we value? And what do we really value? You know, we say we value peace and harmony, but doesn't most of our money go into consumerism and buying things we don't really need? And what are we teaching our kids? You know, what values are you teaching your children about where to spend money and what's important? You know, do you teach your kids to keep some money aside every week and then give it to a charity or give it to somebody who doesn't have? Or do you teach your kids to save up money so they can buy another something that they don't really need? Well, I think this is important to think about. You know, where really are our values? Ourselves, and what example are we showing to children? And what are you actively teaching your kids about where to put their resources, their time, and their property? Hmm? I think very, very important.